name is Barry Allen. I am the fastest man alive.
RandomChatter.com presents a Flash podcast.
You see that red blur?
Dedicated to the discussion of the Flash television series.
A lot to discuss.
Scarlet Velocity.
Run, Barry, run!
Welcome to Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast. Thanks for slowing down for a moment. I'm your host, Josh.
And I'm Tim E. Wraith. I like chasing speedsters around and wearing this nice foggy little cape. Here.
The foggy cape. It looks good on you, though. Well, you've discovered...
It is. It's slimming.
You've discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show, The Flash, with discussion and commentary on all the various episodes, including the ones with Harry Potter crossovers. So, my friend Time, Tim. Wait, Tim E. Time. Tim, this is a... I can't keep that straight. Your name is confusing. Can I just call you Jay this week?
That, I guess so.
Okay.
That'd be fine.
All right, Mr. Wraith, Jay Wraith. This episode had me on the edge of my seat, mostly out of frustration at Barry.
Really?
Yes. Yes. I'm like, what are you doing? What? No. But you know what? We'll get into that. Tell us a little bit about what this episode is about, because we have lots of good stuff to talk about and some fun surprises.
And some not so good stuff.
Okay. And some not so good stuff.
definitely. Okay. Yeah, I definitely want to talk about this. So, all right. So this was episode 17 from season 2, called Flashback, originally airing on March 29th, 2016, written by Aaron Helbing and Todd Helbing, with direction by Alice Trotten. Faster, faster. How's Barry going to get faster? Well, his persistence and determination is admirable, but he has run out of ideas. That is, until he gets the brilliant idea to go back in time and ask Eobard Thawne for some advice. And you know, when I say brilliant, I mean incredibly foolish. Despite Harry Wells' insistence that he shouldn't go, he does anyway, and of course he picks up a hitchhiker. A time race. I gotta turn this off, man. This is... I'm Rick Rolling myself here. So despite Harry Wells' insistence that he shouldn't go, he does, and on the way picks up the hitchhiker. A time wraith follows Barry through the time stream and seems to be an unstoppable force. It doesn't take Barry too long to start messing things up in the past, and Thawne is smart enough to notice. Of course he is. Of course he is smart enough to notice. Now the two enemies have to help each other before the Wraith claims Barry for good. Luckily, they may get some help from a different past foe, Hartley Rathaway, the Pied Piper. He may be their only hope to stopping the Wraith.
He could be, but he's never going to give him up.
He's never going to let them down.
No, he'd never do that. He'd never. No. All right, now, hold on a second. I gotta try to get that song out of my head. All right,
putting those little things out of your ears again, because that is gross.
I might have to.
Do not want to see that.
Now, just to help with that a little bit, but thank you very much for explaining that. Now, this, like I said, this had me screaming at the television. This episode, in a good way. I'm not complaining. I actually really enjoyed it. It was much more fun than I expected it to be. Just knowing what it was
we were really impressed. I mean, when the Wraith showed up in the tunnel, the time tunnel, kind of at the beginning, both my older son and I were like, Black Racer, and we can get into that in a little bit here. It was. It was unexpected.
It was unexpected. I didn't. I mean, we had seen that in the preview, the trailer for this week, right?
Sure.
That something was
I forget those as soon as I watch them usually.
Well, but so. Even so, that's not what I thought it was. You know, and once he was going through the time stream or whatever you call that, then I kind of realized the connection there. So, all right, well, let's get into a little bit of news first. We have some stuff to talk about before we do this episode here. One thing I wanted to point out, I saw that 21st episode of this season is the one that's going to be directed by Kevin Smith. And
yes, from Clerks and Mallrats, Chasing Amy.
Right.
That guy.
That guy. And I just found out today, before we recorded this, that in his episode, his good friend, or what does he call him? His hetero life partner, I think is what he calls him.
Yeah.
Jay Muse, who you would recognize as you know, Jay of Jay and Silent Bob, is going to make a cameo in this, in the episode that Kevin Smith directed.
Of course he is.
Of course he is, yes.
I mean, was there any doubt? Maybe a little bit of doubt. But.
Well, no. I mean, I just knew it was going to be a great episode, and I'm still really, really looking forward to that one. But I can't remember who it said he even played, so I'm anxious to kind of see. It'll probably just be a short little one.
It says that he's there was something. He's like playing a bad, like a henchman kind of person. Like you won't even know it's him as his cameo, but then as one of his cameos, and then there's another part where you will see him as Jay. Like you'll be able to tell it's Jay.
I hope he has a line.
There's going to be so many Jays on this show. It's going to get really confusing here soon.
Yes. Well, our show already is. There's so many Jays on our show that I often get confused. So that's why I figure if I just call you Jay, it should work because there's so many different Jays, you know.
Right.
Anyway, so I'm anxious to see that. We're getting closer and closer to that episode. Let's see. This is 17. So just
about a month, I guess.
Do the math. I have to figure out that Common Core math to get to 21, but we're on 17. So you guys, I'll let you work that out. With the break,
absolutely.
I guess, because like you said, about a month. Well, it turns out Flash is not going to be joining us next week. He is off for 2 weeks, and it will return again on April 19th, which I think may have caused the biggest scream of all in my house.
Yes, that was a huge scream. I mean, usually they come back at around this time. Historically, the CW shows we follow have come back for about 3 episodes. Arrow's doing 3 episodes, but for whatever reason, Flash... 2 episodes since the little end of February break.
Does this correlate with the NCAA basketball tournament, or is that already over? I'm sorry, I'm a little off.
Well, it is the end of March, so I would assume the madness is dying down, but I don't know if they've had their finals or not.
Well, often they don't even try to compete with that, so they usually put reruns on there. But
right.
Anyway.
And the Kevin Smith episode will air on May 10th.
May 10th.
So,
all right.
So about a month and a half, really.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to all of the episodes. I've had so much fun this season. But all right. Well, you know what? Last week we talked about Zoom's appearance in Cisco's Vibes. And Vibes Vibes. It reminded me of something that you have very generously helped me in envision. It helped me actually create into a reality.
Yeah, I asked people to put it together and post it to our page, and I said, heck, why am I might as well just do this myself, because you were saying it looked like a roller rink or roller disco or something like that, and I think we were joking that you just needed to add some Bee Gees into it. So that's what I did.
This is perfect.
So if you guys haven't seen it, we posted it on our Facebook and our Twitter feeds last weekend, I think. I want to say like on Sunday. But if you haven't seen it, I'll put a link for it in our show notes. Or just search YouTube for Cisco at the Disco.
Thank you for doing that. It made my entire week.
You're welcome.
Well, we're very pleased this week to be joined by Rebecca and Carly from Supergirl Radio Podcast.
Woo!
It's great to have you guys here.
Well, thanks for having us on. We're excited to talk about the crossover episode with The Flash.
Absolutely. You know, my wife and my girls and I are huge fans of Supergirl and of course, huge fans of Flash. So there was a lot of screaming in delight leading up and through this episode. So it's great to have you guys on.
It's our own multiverse.
It is.
Yeah. And they talked about the multiverse on the episode, which was a lot of fun.
On the whiteboard.
they did spend a lot of time on the whiteboard. I was kind of interested that they seemed to take, I don't know, I mean, maybe it was 5 minutes kind of explaining what all this means. I guess this is kind of new for the Supergirl show. I mean, we've been seeing this on The Flash for quite a while.
Yeah, that's kind of old school for The Flash, but they had to establish it for the Supergirl audience who may not watch The Flash. And it was fun because it seemed like Barry had gone to a world where there were evil counterparts. I don't know if he was talking about Earth 2, if there was a total and a complete other Earth where everybody was evil. So that was kind of fun.
Yeah. So do you guys watch Flash at all?
Yeah. I mean, I'm actually a pretty new Flash fan. Like, I started watching a little bit when it first aired, and then I fell off the wagon a little bit, but now I'm back on.
Cool.
So I had actually finished all of season one by the time, and was starting season two by the time the crossover happened. So I was able to kind of appreciate Barry's arrival a little more, I think, than if I had been more ignorant of Flash canon and Grant Gustin's awesomeness.
Yeah, and I've been watching the Flash since day one, so it was fun to get to see him go and hang out with Supergirl.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So now, would you consider this a successful crossover? Do you think they did a good job?
Oh, I think so. Absolutely. I think the ratings went up, and I think everybody had a good time watching it. Twitter seemed to, you know, explode with glee. And I say glee kind of in a punny way, but everybody seemed to really enjoy it. All of our listeners were really excited about it. So I think it was a success from my point of view.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, it's nice to have a superhero team up that's not about them fighting each other, because we're getting so many versus in the superhero world lately. Like, we've got Batman versus Superman, and we've got Civil War coming up where everybody's just fighting each other. So it was really nice to get a superhero duo that were just getting along. Like, I think at one point everybody was tweeting with the hashtag Dawn of Friendship, because that's pretty much the perfect description for this episode. Like, from the minute they met, Carr and Barry just got along instantaneously. So that was really nice. And the fact that they work together in terms of a way, finding ways to take down like the bad girls in the episode. And
yeah,
so yeah, it was nice to see a collaboration and a friendship, and the two of them being supportive, and Barry giving Kara advice about being a superhero and all that good stuff.
Yeah, you're right. It has been really dark. On your World's Finest episode on your podcast for this episode, I mean, you guys even mentioned, I think, Daredevil and Punisher. That's going on as well. And you're right. This episode, I mean, as light as The Flash gets, and I think Supergirl, Josh, you watch Supergirl enough, right? You said with your daughters. So
yeah, every week. Absolutely.
It's light in the same way that The Flash is. And I think that, they went extra light this week. I mean, even though there were the two villains and, there were some other elements, that they were bringing in, they had the little myriad thing, I think, at the end of the tag at the end, which is, you know, a little freaky going on there. But the rest of the episode was just so buoyant. Like you said, they're getting ice cream for each other. They're giving hugs and high fives. I mean, it is super friends, which was really cool about this. The one thing that I had the biggest problem with on this, and I'm going to put big problem in air quotes, just because Barry is such an ego whore. He comes out and he'll show his identity to anybody. I mean, we keep a list of all the people that have, you know, that know Barry is the Flash. And also over on our Arrow podcast, we keep a list of all the people that know Oliver Queen is the Arrow. And I mean, he added five more people in this complete, you know, if you count Cat Grant and stuff, who, you know, I guess they didn't quite confirm that she knows, but then all these people, the DEO know, it's like, Barry, come on.
Well, I guess he figured if he's not from that Earth, it doesn't really matter. So I guess he can kind of get away with it and go home and never see these people again. possibly. Hopefully we will get to see them together again, but maybe he's like, well, they're from another Earth, no big deal. But yeah, he did kind of reveal himself to a lot of people in this episode, now that I'm thinking about it.
Right, and it's basically the first thing he does, he's like, oh, hi, I'm Barry Allen, and the Flash, and she's like, you know, should I know who that is? And, you know, he pulls his hood off and everything, and I mean, I guess she... you know, she brought him into her circle in the same way that every time we have a guest hero on The Flash or on Arrow, you know, it kind of needs to be established that, you know, everybody should kind of know each other's secret identity, I guess, because they are letting them into that that tight circle of friends that the show has. And I guess that it is for the best just in terms of interaction with the different characters and stuff like that. Cause it would be, I think it would be awkward if Barry wasn't able to be hanging out with James and Wynn and Kara and her, you know, in her street clothes and everything like that.
Yeah. So, you know, if these two were to meet again, which I hope they do, you know, I'm not sure he knows how he got to this particular Earth, but maybe he could figure it out. You know, he's working on that stuff. And what would that look like to you if they were to meet up again?
That's a good question. I would love to see Supergirl show up on The Flash. I feel like that could be really fun. Like, do a reverse crossover. I don't know how she would get to Barry's world, but maybe there would be some kind of thing. Or have them, somebody, I think at one point, on our podcast pitched the idea of doing like the ultimate crossover, which would be Supergirl, Arrow, Legends, and The Flash.
Geez.
And have like every, but it would probably be everybody like facing some kind of big bad that, you know, multi-universe
right,
kind
like,
of thing. Cause they,
maybe
cause
a crisis of some kind.
Yeah. I don't know. They talked about Infinite Earths at the end of Supergirl. So
right. Oh, when
like
you
they
said,
wouldn't have,
yeah, yeah, when you
I
said
mean,
Big
I feel
Bad,
like they would have dropped it.
Yeah, I was thinking Gotham when you said Big Bad, but that's cool. So that would be really amazing, and it would be interesting to see Supergirl come over to their side. But you're right; it's kind of just plot wise, or you know, reasoning wise. How would that look? I guess
right. The plausibility. It's a little difficult to like justify because Barry, at least we know that he has the ability to do it, but. You couldn't really argue the same would be true for Supergirl, I think.
Yeah.
It's a comic book show. I think you could probably come up with something.
True. Barry could open a breach. You know, I mean, they have enough scientists on their side that they could probably figure out some way to suck her in. It wouldn't be necessarily her decision, probably. So that would be a little awkward. But, yeah, that would be cool. I did have one other question for you guys about the end of the episode, being that this was a, you know, ostensibly a team up episode with two heroes fighting the two villains on it. How did you guys feel about the city actually, the citizens of the city actually being the ones to save the day instead of the star of the show?
I personally love that because I think it's important to show normal everyday citizens doing heroic things, even if it's just, you know, the fireman using the fire hose on a being that shoots out, you know, electrical charges.
Yeah.
I think that's important. I think it's nice to see superheroes doing their superhero thing, but I think it's also important to show that we can be superheroes. So I think that's a nice thing that they showed at the end of the episode to kind of redeem Supergirl to the citizens that they were willing to help her out.
Cool.
Yeah,
cool.
I think it kind of gave a nice resolution because, you know, they had that earlier conversation in the scene with Barry and Kara, and she talks about how she's worried that she doesn't know if the citizens of National City are going to trust her again because of what happened in an earlier episode where she was affected by red kryptonite. So I think it was a nice way to give closure to that, those fears of hers, you know, in a nice kind of poignant way.
That's a really good point. Yeah. I mean, and also the fact that Barry talked to her about it, too, because he had been going through something not quite as dramatic, because I think it was only like one episode. They hadn't really dealt with it. But there was someone else trajectory that people thought was the Flash. So there were a number of people that thought the Flash was doing bad things the other week. So that was an interesting aspect. And I'm assuming that you know, the writing teams talked about this in advance as they were trying to figure out and bring their two shows together with similar thematic elements between them for this.
Well, and I think it was good to bring another hero that was, you know, off of the show in to talk to her about this, because even though she's got people in her circle, you know, and even John Jones, you know, but it's not the same kind of hero that she can talk to. And since they're not going to bring Superman on, she can't bounce these little ideas off of anybody that would really be able to relate. So, I mean, I thought they resolved that in a really good way with the citizens, like you were saying, Jay, with having them save her. Although I do think the citizens of National City are very quick to
forgive.
Well, I don't know if they were quick to forgive, but they were sure quick to judge her. You know, I mean, even when they found out what actually had happened to her, they still didn't trust her too much. But that's a pretty common superhero theme anyway, I think. So
right. So very
well,
cool.
You know, I thought it was a great episode. Matter of fact, to me, you know, there's all kinds of comic book shows on TV, but this episode of Supergirl felt more like a comic book on TV. I mean, it really felt to me like a crossover comic book character coming in, and it was almost kind of a standalone story, even though it continued the Supergirl story. But it really felt fun and action packed at the same time, and I was really entertained by it. And man, we laughed a lot in this. So
it may have had the funniest, in the Berlanti universe. I think it may have had the funniest joke that I have heard. I mean, I probably did laugh out loud harder for this episode with the jab against the CW show.
That was great.
That cat. I mean, just her deadpan delivery was great. And of course, you know, if you don't know that Flash is on CW, it still may be funny. You know, I think it works on so many levels for people that, you know, don't even follow Flash, right? So it just was a great joke that they had set up, and I would love to see them do this more. I don't want them to overdo it. Josh and I have talked about with the setup for Legends of Tomorrow this season on the CW shows, Flash and Arrow seem to have gotten a little bit of a short shrift on it, just because a lot of time was used on their shows to set up characters that they were going to be going away to this third show, Legends of Tomorrow.
Right.
And I never want a crossover to take away from one of the characters. I want it to enhance the show. And I think that's what this one did. And also, correct me if I'm wrong, this may be the first time that characters from different networks have crossed over on different shows. I don't think that's ever happened before on any show. I mean,
well,
usually it's
the Constantine crossover on Arrow, but that was after it had already been canceled.
That is true. That was after it was canceled, however. But yeah, I mean, and maybe the Harlem Globetrotters on Scooby-Doo or something like that.
Oh, yeah. That set up everything. The future, you know, so
nice.
Well, hey, Carly, Rebecca, thank you so much for stopping by Scarlet Velocity this week. It was great to have you, and it was great to, if you guys want to hear more about the Supergirl episode this week, make sure you guys turn into Supergirl Radio and you can hear them talk all about it. So where can people follow your show at?
You can go to supergirlradio.com, or you can follow us on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, all at Supergirl Radio. And we even have a Spotify playlist that you can check out for, you know, Supergirl music, you know, music from the show, music about Supergirl, that kind of stuff. So you just search for Supergirl Radio on Spotify. We're even on that. So, yeah. And we're also on iTunes and Stitcher.
Wow, they got Spotify, Josh.
But we decided we would become a literal Supergirl Radio to live up to our podcast
cool.
name.
Yeah, excellent.
That is super. So, well, you know what? I hope that we get an opportunity to talk with you guys again in the same kind of crossover idea. So it was great to have you guys, and we'll make sure we keep listening.
Well, thanks for having us on.
Thanks.
All right, thanks. All right, well, we need to get started talking about this episode because there's a lot of things I want to cover in this.
Okay, I was really hoping we were going to go back in time to the one of our episodes from last season.
Okay.
And we could just kind of talk to us then. I was thinking that would be really fun, but...
That would be dangerous.
If you want to talk about this episode, that's cool,
our
too.
Entire, our podcast would create a breach if you did that. You got to be careful with those things.
No breaches.
Although, interesting that you said that. I did go ahead, you know, you'd kind of given me a little tip since you get to watch this show 2 hours before I do.
It's like time travel.
It is like time travel, but you gave me a little tip that I should go back and watch episode 11 from season 1, which was basically the episode that Barry traveled back in time to.
Yeah, The Sound and the Fury, which is interesting because we were kind of talking about that episode last week.
Yes, we were.
Kind of obliquely.
Yes, so I actually ended up having time to watch it before this episode. So thank you for that tip.
Oh,
I didn't think I was good. Going to get to, but then I've got to wait so long for this to be on. It's on, not on until 8 o'clock, so I got to watch it. And that was a good thing to do. But if you didn't watch it beforehand, you can go back and kind of compare the two after, because there is some really interesting things in that one to compare this one to.
I was worried that Barry had screwed up the timeline more than he actually did. I thought there was a big, big time hole in there, but it gets covered. I think I've got a note for it here, so we can get to that when we get to that in the
show. All right, well,
notes here, so.
You mentioned here that Barry is a very smart guy.
Barry is incredibly smart.
He is.
I mean, he's reading all these books about how to go faster. He's got, you know, Caitlin and Cisco working on these problems for him. And what does he decide to do?
He goes,
I'm going to go back in time and talk to my biggest enemy so far.
I don't know how he worked this out in his brain that this was a good idea. But I also know that he is so determined to stop Zoom. And you can see at the beginning of the episode how determined he is and how I don't want to say he's being stubborn, but he's just being really persistent in trying to find a way. And I think that's kind of blinding him to common sense, which is that's a very common human trait. So I can see where he would kind of make this stubborn decision. But he should and usually does listen to his friends about decisions like this. I'm not so much wondering why Barry did it, but why did Cisco and Caitlin go along with it?
Yeah, they were slightly irresponsible. I mean, because Harry was like, no. I don't even know what's going to happen, but I know this is not a good idea. You know, and you're right. I mean, Cisco at least, with all of his pop culture knowledge, should know that this was probably not a good idea.
He shouldn't. Now, I will say this, though. I was thinking about the other time that Barry traveled back in time in the first season. And, I mean, he did it a couple times. But the time that he did it on accident where he went to – he was stopped Weather Wizard, I think it was, right?
Yeah. Yep.
But when he did that and it significantly changed the timeline – he did a lot of really big things that were different than the first time around, right? And I think his intention this time was to not make those big changes. Now, he failed.
On purpose.
On purpose. He failed miserably
yeah.
at it. But yeah, I think his intention was to just really kind of go in disguise and act like everything was the same and, you know, just make a few comments to Thawne / Wells. And hopefully get the information he needed, but he's just not very good at that stuff. So he promises not to do it, and then didn't take him long.
And then immediately does it.
Yes. I did like that Cisco was trying to help him and give him some advice, and I don't know if you caught this, how much you caught this, and I even kind of went back and looked, and I couldn't read everything that was on his sort of what not to do list. That Cisco was writing on the
whiteboard, or not the whiteboard, but the
window.
the glass that they were doing. So
he had certain things told Barry not to do. I thought this was a great shot. He said no breaches. You know, you don't know anything about the breaches yet, so don't mention that.
Okay, yeah, that's cool.
Don't mention time travel because you haven't done that yet.
That is the biggest rule of time travel. The first rule of time travel is you don't talk about time travel.
Oh, is it? Okay, all right. that works out when you go back in time to fight people too. His dad is still in prison, so you know don't make sure you don't ask where Henry is. You know nothing about Jay Garrick, which turns out actually to be true in the present time too. and then there was something that was written said no suspicion, and I think it was no suspicion.
Wells is Reverse
Wells
Flash.
Wells is Reverse Flash. Okay, that's what it was. I knew it had something to do with Reverse Flash. So so pretend like everything's good.
They picked a really good time to do it. It's like, hey, you know, we've just found out that that Wells had, you know, was more responsible for all of this than originally thought. Everybody was kind of mad at him, so that should mask any awkwardness.
Yeah.
It's like, well, that's actually pretty clever, figuring out that this particular episode would be the best time to go back.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, and now this was right around the time that Joe started suspecting Wells, and he started investigating, and they even showed that in this, because he was sending Eddie to do some of his work there. So,
yes.
So anyway, and then the last one that I saw on there was that there's no Ronnie yet. This was actually, again, when they
it was just the episode before they found Ronnie.
Yeah, because Hartley knew information about that. So, so don't say any of that stuff. So that's pretty good that they could actually remember that all of that happened right at that time, because I didn't, but then again, I wasn't living it. Yeah. So
right, and they had all the newspaper articles that they put up there and pictures of like who they had met up to that point and crossed them off. I guess they were crossing off the ones that were dead or captured or whatever. Right. The reason I wanted to go back and watch it again, because I knew, so basically when Barry jumps into the past, he comes in about the end of the first act. He comes in about, like, you know, 15 or so minutes into the episode.
So after, like, first commercial.
Right.
that's what they shot for. Right after the Geico commercial, please, you know, go in there.
It just get right in there. Just right there. And he, and then basically he screws up everything from that point on for the rest of the episode.
It was because he missed his mark a little bit, right?
Yeah, so he overshot on the way back. So he went basically too far into the past. He needed to, because he wanted to come in. He was talking about coming in, I think, at
the fight
around the time of the bridge fight, right?
Yes,
which was the end. That was the climax of that particular episode.
Yeah, so he went back like 3 CW logos too far.
yes, he did.
Okay, so right then, and I think that might have been because he was distracted by the Wraith. Was that? Am I missing that? I didn't go back and watch that.
It flew past him in the time tunnel or whatever we're calling it, and that's actually a good explanation as to why he may have.
Okay, so and the reason that I had brought up his other time traveling experiences before this one was because they really did plan it out, and they thought they could do it. The first one Barry did, you know, he didn't know what was going on. He ended up changing a bunch of stuff, and it kind of messed stuff up. The second time, when he went back and saw his mom, he didn't change anything. He didn't even save his mom. He talked to his mom, but that didn't end up affecting anything, right? Because she died right after that. So
right.
I think,
and he admits to Cisco and Caitlin, that's like, look, I did that, and I didn't change anything.
Yeah, and so
I
think he thought that he could really do it. You know, I think he thought it was possible, and I don't think he realized how much even one little tiny thing could change stuff. And now I think he's realized that quite fast. Real quick, now, solutions to try to stop Zoom. Like I said, he's so determined. But to me, time traveling is just as extreme as Velocity 9. As a matter of fact, maybe even worse, because Velocity 9, you know, got the potential to harm or kill yourself. Time travel's got the potential to do a lot worse than that, and a lot more people could suffer.
Yeah,
but I don't think he saw that big picture.
He is a little caught up in, again, he actually makes the connection at the beginning of this episode that his mentor this season betrayed him in the same way, you know, in a similar way to the way his mentor betrayed him last season.
Yep.
And he just let these people get, I feel that he's just going to become so jaded at some point here, which
or Hunter,
you know, would,
you don't know. It could be Jaded, could be Hunter. We don't know yet. Sorry. Again, I got us off track.
Yeah. No, those are good. Those are good. But you know, he's just so upset. You know, he's just so upset with himself that you know he's focused on getting faster so he can just take care of this guy. Like he needs to go kick his butt, and he's not, you know, thinking about those consequences.
Yeah. Well, one of the consequences he discovers in this that when you deliberately go mess with the timeline, you get followed by Dementors.
It's what it seems like.
Or what they're calling in this a time wraith. Now, this time wraith looked very familiar to me as far as Flash lore goes.
Yeah.
He resembled very much some thing or someone, I guess, called Black Flash. Now, do you know anything about Black Flash?
I'm a little familiar with Black Flash, but I think I get him confused with Black Racer, which is one of the new gods. But I believe they have similar duties, right? Because Black Racer is kind of the death persona in the new gods pantheon. So he'd be the one that when someone's about to die, the Black Racer goes and collects them. So that's kind of what the Black Flash
and,
does,
and
too.
Black
right?
Flash, yeah, he essentially does that, although he does it for speedsters. Right, so anybody using the Speed Force, I'm assuming because you know any other form of death can't catch, you know, speedsters because they're too fast. I guess
they're so fast, right?
And actually, that is kind of it's almost like the Speed Force created it for that. In the comics, in certain comics, he's been responsible for the death of Barry Allen for one, also Johnny Quick and Max Mercury. And a couple other people almost died for that. And in the Flash Rebirth comic from a few years ago, very recently, mm-hmm. I guess what, I guess it's been a few years now. Hasn't about
yeah,
8 years or something like that.
Oh, really? It's been 8 years now?
Maybe.
I was gonna say it was less than that.
Anyway, Barry Allen briefly, became the Black Flash. So that was kind of an interesting storyline. So he's appeared in quite a few stories. The first time that Black Flash appeared was in Flash number 138. And I think that's back when Wally West was Flash. That was back in 1998. Yeah. So,
right. That would be like volume two of the Flash, I guess. The more modern Flash.
Right, right.
Yeah, Wally West would have been that one.
So so that's kind of who Black Flash is in the comics. And that's why a lot of people thought this time wraith resembled him. You know, what is his job or why is he there? It almost seems like he's there more for, preventing time changes, than just a death figure chasing. Cause that doesn't seem why he was after Barry. And I think, Thawne kind of explained it in the same way. That's, Thawne had gone back in time with the intention of, you know, killing Barry and doing all those things. But he had been avoiding this time wraith, so he knew about it.
Well, it also had something to do. Thawne also mentioned that it was because he was being careful, and maybe it's just, you know, like we said, Barry just kind of goes back and he's just reacting as he would in situations, but what he doesn't realize is he's altering the timeline. And you know, maybe it's like a spider on his web, as you know, when the fly lands in it and starts kicking around, vibrating the web, the spider knows where it is. So maybe as those ripples of time change happen, that's what the time wraith picks up on and is attracted to, you know, and goes to basically destroy the person that's, you know, mucking with time, basically.
Well, and I noticed that, I mean, you know, Thawne's avoiding him, although he came back in time. I noticed that the Wraith appeared in that time stream, in that time tunnel. That's when he first appeared. I thought that was kind of strange, too. But it doesn't seem like he's limited to just taking out speedsters, because it appeared as if he took out that cop when he first appeared under all Barry's evidence.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, you know, obviously, it's, I would guess it's self-preservation or something like
maybe,
that.
Maybe, I don't know. So anyway, that's kind of interesting. I don't know how much we'll find out about the Time Wraith because I'm not sure if or when he'll show up again, but it gave Barry something to really worry about while he was back a year ago.
He was scary looking. That was, I thought they did a really good job with that. The CG for that looked really good. The CG fight between Barry present and Barry future was not as solid.
Wasn't as clean. Yeah, I agree with that. But bother me. I've heard some people talk about that as well, but I didn't have so much of a problem with that. But I don't know though how going back in time or this Time Wraith, that's how it's going to affect Barry's iPhone, which he clearly carries with him everywhere he goes. Because he records Eddie on it. He on Supergirl this week, he's taking pictures with it. So hopefully he doesn't get a lot of roaming charges when he's going to different Earths and going back in time. Because like that could really affect your bill.
I would definitely probably worry about that more than any number of other problems.
Zoom or being locked up by Thawne. Yeah, I'm like,
can you believe this? What is up with this bill this
month? That would have been a good excuse when he's locked up, and Thawne's questioning him and he's got the handcuffs on. He's like, look, pal, I know you hate me, but my bill is going to be killer if I don't get back to my time really, really soon. So, all right, so as he is chained up there in the time vault, Harrison Wells tells Barry, or Thawne, I guess, tells Barry that there are more speedsters out there, right? That's what he's talking about this time, right? And he says there's more speedsters out there. Who's he talking about?
All the other speedsters?
Yeah, but okay, we can assume that he doesn't know about Earth 2 speedsters, right?
Possibly. I mean, so Thawne comes from the future, right? Did we ever establish like how far in the future? It was a good clip, right? I mean, 80-100 years, something like that.
Oh yeah, more than that, at least. I think it was like a couple hundred.
Oh no, he was talking about centuries, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So he has the ability. I mean, I would assume if the Flash is a character that is known in the future, his exploits are known, and I'm sure that obviously he's influenced a number of other speedsters, and he might know about ones from other Earths, as they have visited, or because he's studying, and in studying he's learned that the Flash is mortal and has many different speedster counterparts from different Earths.
You sound like Inigo Montoya. Not Inigo Montoya. Who's the other guy?
No,
Vincini.
Vincini, yeah.
In studying, he knows that he is mortal. I guess you could be talking about him in the future. I almost took it as somebody more specific that Barry might be meeting up with, but I guess you're right. He would know all of the speedsters for the last few hundred years, so.
Because his past is Barry's future.
Yeah, and there's clearly going to be more speedsters. There already has been, so he might even know about the Earth 2 speedsters, I guess, because that could be part of his history,
right? And maybe he knows more about maybe he knows specifically about Zoom, and maybe Barry should have asked about that in some fashion, like once he got found out, because maybe Thawne does know something that Barry can use to defeat Zoom. But well, I guess we'll see. I mean, he's got this flash drive or whatever that's got all this information on it, supposedly.
I don't know if he would want to say that, though, because he was trying to keep up that story that he had been defeated by Thawne. And, he was trying to make sure Thawne never suspected that he had actually died or lost the battle. So
that's true. I mean, and regardless of what story he made up, I mean, it still was dangerous for Barry because, as Thawne pointed out, he doesn't need future Barry. Regardless of whether Thawne won or lost, future Barry is irrelevant at that point. Like, whatever happens after that, he just needs to make sure that he, works to make sure that present Barry, the Barry of the past, makes it to wherever he is. Hmm. And, assuming that up to that point, he assumed that Thawne one.
This time stuff makes you boys. Dizzy, man.
It would have been easier just to go back and re-edit ourselves into our older episode, I think.
That would have been fun. I do want to say at this point about Tom Cavanaugh, how he was actually playing two different roles in this one episode.
He felt like two different characters.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, it really was different. He didn't have to whisper throughout this whole episode, but he did feel like two entirely different people, and yet it's the same guy. I can't say enough about his performance on this series, and I know we've already said that, especially because he's somebody different this season, and I don't know what they're going to do next season. Hopefully he kind of just sticks around as that character, but if they want to change him up again a little bit, I know he's got to make good with his daughter, who I'm assuming we will see eventually, so...
Yeah, I'm assuming she has gone away for a couple episodes. Maybe she'll come back. She's like, hey, I hooked up with this really great guy. And then Barry's dad shows up and is like, hi, guys.
I thought you were going to say she hooked up with Jay Muse. But, Henry would probably be a little more uncomfortable, wouldn't it?
Oh, that would be horrible.
Oh, yeah, that wouldn't be good at
all. But, yeah, he does a great job. And like you said, I am interested to see what they do with the character. Next season, he definitely, Harry Wells can stick around and be, you know, the new, I feel more like that Harry Wells probably will stick around and just be the new, you know, character because they can't keep kind of changing it up every season. I don't know that they've got that ability.
Yeah, you'd have to figure something different out.
Right.
I agree with you. And he's doing a great job, so I think they'll stick around. I don't know what I was gonna say something else about Harrison Wells, but I know what I was gonna say is that he got to say his line again this episode, and I didn't think I was gonna get to hear that again. But
run, Barry, run,
yeah, and he got to do it even more dramatically. Run, Barry, that was good. That was good.
There was another line that he read, and I can't remember what it was now, but he paused in the middle to do something with his hands. And then because he was talking about a spark and he's like that brilliant. And he makes his hands move a little bit and he's like spark. And I'm like, wow, that was a long pause there.
He goes to the William Shatner School of Acting there.
Tom Cavanaugh, you know, I don't see him in a lot of like interviews and stuff like this. So I don't really know what his mannerisms are, you know, when he is just Tom Cavanaugh. But I have a feeling that it's really not either of the two characters that he's portraying. There's sometimes where you see characters and you say the actor's really pulling a lot from themselves for that character.
Right.
It appears to be, you know, whether that's true or not, that's the feeling I get. And in this case, I feel that Cavanaugh just, he's got two unique characters that he's pulled out, and they're really nothing like
him. I can see a little bit of Tom Cavanaugh in some of the lighter moments, like it when he's kind of giving those jokey lines, you know, when was it last week when he was quoting Kanye West? So
that
kind of stuff. Well, somebody else returned besides Eobard Thawne this week. We got to see Eddie again. And this was not...
That was nice seeing Eddie.
It was nice seeing Eddie. And it wasn't just, clips from the old one. I mean, they actually brought him back for some...
Yeah, they got Rick Cosnett to come back and be on the episode.
New scenes and new lines. And it was... I really like the way that they used him to help Iris kind of move on from that part of her life It gave her a lot more closure than she had any time previously to this.
That was what I had in my notes, that she got some closure to allow her to move on with whatever she's going to do, even if it's making bad decisions about dating her.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah, I was going to say, even if it I don't want it to move in that direction, but I think it's going to anyway. So it was nice to see him, and I like how Barry figured out it was a horrible lie that he told him, Eddie, but about her birthday.
Yeah.
that's okay. And I guess you had a nice little note here too about
Oh yeah,
and
so
his lack
I mean,
of detective skills.
Yeah, he does not realize, obviously, that Barry's using next year's iPhone. So, I mean, you know.
Hey, maybe Barry's, like, beta testing it, you know, before they sell it. They get people to test it out.
It's just, it's the new Star Labs iPhone, so.
There you go. Real quick about Piper. I like that they used him to get out of there, and it seemed like he has a little redemption at the end of this episode by helping yeah. him out. But man, he really turned around and now he's pretty much a good guy. So
it's what it seems like when they left him, I mean, he was still really, so he was really bitter in the original episode. If you guys go back and take a look at that, he's really upset with Harrison Wells, which I guess he still would be in this timeline. So the differences are the initial fight happens pretty much the same way. He gets captured and put in the pipeline. And in the original timeline, they don't realize that his hearing aids are bombs. And then he breaks out, steals information on Barry's metahuman abilities. He then attacks the Flash on the dam, I guess it was, like the bridge of the dam. And then, but he has his hands injured when the gloves explode and they lock him back up again. And at that point, he says that he knows who, where Ronnie Raymond is. And in the following episode, they go and figure out where Ronnie Raymond is. And I believe he escapes at that point. But it's not like he's on good terms with anybody. He's still kind of upset with Wells. But in the new version, he doesn't escape. There is no battle on the dam. He doesn't injure his hands, but a number of similar elements come into play. Like, he talks about the fact that he set up his gloves to play this high frequency thing, which is what he uses to get rid of the time wraith. But that's what in the original timeline he had used to try to kill the Flash. And my concern was that he was, if he wasn't locked up again and all this stuff, he wasn't going to be able to make this deal about letting everybody know where Ronnie Raymond was. And when I finished the episode the first time, I was like, oh my God, that's a huge deal. If Ronnie, well, it could mean a number of things. It means Ronnie would never be found. Ronnie would still be out there so they could get him back. It means that all the adventures they had wouldn't be there and he wouldn't have been sucked into the breach at the end of season one. But I noticed that Barry does tell Sisko, future Barry tells past Sisko right before he leaves. He's like, hey, just so you know, Hartley knows about where Ronnie is. So he kind of resets the expectation. So you can kind of assume that the timeline then progresses in a similar direction there, except for the whole part, as you said, where now Hartley is kind of their friend.
Yeah.
And helps them with stuff.
So I'm thinking he may come back and help out. So
he's a fun character. I mean, as the nice Hartley at the end, I mean, he seems like a, you know, kind of a fun character. He's a really smart guy.
Well, and actually in the Flash comic books, that is kind of what happens to Pied Piper. He ends up being Flash's friend.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Pied Piper is a good guy. He's a nice guy and he's very friendly. I think he actually comes out to Flash in one issue. Might have been the Wally West Flash, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
But anyway, so that.
Oh, and also he rectified his rift with his parents because he came out to them. And in the original episode, that was the reason you assumed he was attacking his dad's business, because he had come out as gay to them, and because of, I guess they said, old money, old values or something like that, the parents dismissed him or shunned him or whatever. But in a year's time since then, in the revised timeline here, he's been able to rectify, resolve his issues with his parents.
Yeah. So Barry changed some stuff, but it looks like it's still going on a similar path with similar things, just maybe certain things might have been changed. So basically, Barry's just lucky he didn't come back, and now Chris Pine is the Flash because, you know, he's changed things, but all the characters are still there. So I did want to say something. Now, I mentioned I went back and watched episode 11, and you had mentioned this earlier that we had talked last week about this episode inadvertently because we were talking about the broken glass that we saw last week.
The broken glass in last week's episode,
yes.
Right.
And then I had said, wasn't there a thing where there was Wells' ceiling in his house was broken? Well, that was the episode with Pied Piper, and that was episode 11. And they actually – wait, did they show a little bit of that, or am I remembering –
You're remembering the other
remembering
episode.
They
came in after that.
Okay, oh, right.
Barry returned after that.
But I did go back and watch that episode, and you know what? It did very much seem to symbolize that broken expectations of somebody because Rathaway it was very upset at Wells because of how he treated him and when he thought that he was a mentor and a friend. And so I think that broken glass did very much represent that same thing in that episode. So I just wanted to mention that at the end of our discussion.
Yeah, that was very serendipitous.
Very cool. Very cool. So,
yeah.
All right. So
great.
Great episode. I had a lot of fun on this. I always like when they do weird time travel stuff that can have, strong potential consequences. And, this one definitely had us yelling about the consequences. And I think Barry has learned a big lesson about time travel.
And what might that lesson be?
To be a little bit more careful and not let yourself see yourself.
Be more careful in the future. So, yeah, I have a friend who was like, oh, this was a silly episode. I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, time travel episodes, these are like, you know, there's potential for so much funny, interesting, you know, self-referential elements, as well as, you know, again, the problems that the time travel introduces. So I really enjoy these. But I feel they are playing it safe. It's like, you know, it seems like potentially more stuff could be changed than probably will be. But who knows? There may be little things here or there, but I don't know how they would. It's hard to take a lot of extra time in future episodes to justify. It's like, oh, look, this is a change. It's like we wouldn't, you know, really know that.
Yeah.
So because Barry's not going to sit there and say, oh, hey, guys, I just want to check when we were fighting Gorilla Grodd.
No, he's not going to say that. But the fact that now Pied Piper is around, that's a pretty significant change to what we haven't seen yet. You know,
true. If he does continue to like hang out with them, I guess.
Right. So well,
I guess we'll see.
I enjoyed this week, and it felt like a double Flash week. It felt like we got two shows this week because of his crossover on Supergirl. And so, you know, you put the word out to ask people how they liked the episode of Supergirl with Wally playing it up there, having lots of fun. And I just wanted to share just a
Barry.
Did I say Wally?
You mean Barry?
I said Wally. Excuse me. Sorry. Totally different series. Or no, I guess different season maybe. Wally's on this show. Anyway, with Barry on that. So I wanted to share a couple comments from people that shared that with us. Stephanie on Facebook, she said she really enjoyed it. She had watched the first few episodes of Supergirl and just couldn't get into it. So she wasn't too sure about this crossover, but Barry made it a lot of fun from the first moment he was on screen, so it's definitely worth watching. I agree with her. I enjoyed it. I've enjoyed Supergirl, but it is a much different feel than pretty much any other superhero show on right now. But it's light, more light, like Flash.
Right, like we were saying earlier, yeah. Armando said that he couldn't decide between what he liked the best, either Cat Grant addressing Kara Wynn, James, and Barry, saying all four of you standing there doing nothing, you look like an attractive yet non-threatening racially diverse cast of a CW show, or Cat Grant saying, oh please, Barry shows up, the Flash shows up, his insistence on that silly name, and he was so unfailingly charming and nice that he had to either be a superhero or a Mormon, and so he could not decide which one of those he liked the best. I agree. I think those were both great lines and really typify the Cat Grant character for the Supergirl show.
Yes, for sure. So I don't always care for her, but in this one, I thought she did a great job. So, well, Kenny said it was a great episode of Supergirl. He thought it was the best one so far. I'm going to have to agree with him on that one. This episode was super amazing, and he really liked that. And the crossover, I think he thought it was very successful. Like our good friends Rebecca and Carly, they thought it was successful too. So glad he liked
it. That's great. And Ted said it was a perfectly fun Silver Age romp of a crossover, referring back to the Silver Age of comics when you would just have two superheroes just join up just to maybe run a race for charity or something like that. Basically, he said it never got too bogged down in the how. And we could just enjoy that it was happening. Best crossover yet, and here's hoping for more.
You know, I like that point. They don't worry so much about the how. And at first, I was a little concerned. I'm like, well, they didn't tell us how he got there.
They did a little bit. Remember, I said this in our interview with the ladies from Supergirl Radio, is just the fact that it seemed like they took 5 minutes to kind of explain stuff. They were kind of explaining time travel, but they were also kind of explaining the premise of the Flash, I think, as well.
Right. And they didn't explain how he got there to that Earth and what he was doing before that. But that ended up being okay.
We still don't know how I was thinking at the end of this episode, he's going to go back to the future and we're going to see him take a side trip, go to Supergirl TV, and then he'll come back next week. But he was wearing the tachyon device when he went to Supergirl, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. So that gave us a little bit of clues because we saw Thawne have that in this episode, and then he gave him a lot of information about that. And I think that's – so I think this actually – the Supergirl one took place after this episode of The Flash.
Yeah, well, I think it took place – well, I think it's somewhere further down in the time stream before the end of the season. Maybe there will be an explicit moment where we realize what happens, or maybe it'll just kind of be in between two episodes later on in the season. But
maybe so.
Who knows?
So, well, thanks to everybody that gave us feedback on Facebook and on Twitter and told us how you liked the crossover and this episode, too. So we always appreciate that. So, well, there were a few references in this. Why don't you run down in our last minutes here that we have?
All right. So we got yet another reference to Harry Potter. This was a Harry Potter DC Comics crossover week. Supergirl mentioned it. They talk about the Dementor. Being the time wraith, how it looks like a Dementor. And Arrow this week also had a Harry Potter reference in it as well. So, coincidence or same producers? You decide. we got the great Rick Rolling of Hartley in the cell. So that was very funny. And then we had name drops of two great movies. First, just Star Trek II, Wrath of Khan. Barry and Sisko have watched that often, which is cool. An excellent movie to watch. Very, very fun. And then I think it was Sisko mentions, or maybe it was Barry, he mentions the Frighteners.
Yes.
Which I did think the Time Wraith looked very much like the demon creature from the Frighteners, which is who's the guy that did Lord of the Rings? Peter Jackson. It was Peter Jackson's horror comedy with Michael J. Fox.
That was Peter Jackson. I didn't even know that. I love that movie.
Yeah, he directed that. He's got a cameo in it as well as like a punk with like a pierced nose and mohawk and stuff like that.
That's a very underrated movie. I really enjoyed that movie a lot.
It is. It's underrated. It's got a great cast, including Gomez Adams, a.k.a. John Astin. And a number of other great character actors and stuff in it. So, and it's what I like about that film, just to take a quick tangent, is it's supposed to take place in like Northern California or somewhere in the Pacific Northwest, but it's shot in New Zealand. So it's got like, you're telling me it's here, but it doesn't look anything like America. It's just because it's supposed to be a small town too. It's just, everything's off a little bit, and you're not quite sure why, and I think that has a lot to do with it. So
Yeah, great movie if you guys want to check that out. But
yep, that's what I see.
All right, well, wow, a lot to talk about this week. Tons of stuff. Double Flash, special guests on our show. So it was hard to fit it all in time, but we're going to have to wrap it up this week, and you and I are going to have to run for now.
Yeah, if you enjoy the episode, please be sure to leave feedback for us on iTunes. But you can also give us feedback in any number of other places, including email at scarletvelocity@randomchatter.com, tweet at us at scarletvelocity, or visit our Facebook page and let us know what you think about any of the episodes or any of the other cool stuff we're doing over there, or the video for Cisco at the Disco. You can get to our Facebook page at facebook.com/Scarlet Velocity Podcast.
And you can also check out our other shows, Green Justice and Arrow Podcast and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. Those are on randomchatter.com, and they will be back next week, whereas we will be taking a couple weeks off here. All those shows are available in the iTunes Store and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And I do want to thank again Rebecca and Carly from Supergirl Radio for joining us this week and talking about the crossover. And again, you can find them at supergirlradio.com. So thank you very much, as always. And, of course, if you enjoy this podcast, please make sure you tell all your friends about it. That would be great to spread the word. And remember, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for The Flash can be found at www.cwtv.com. The Flash and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.